Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome to Military Monday on the Rightstream Radio Network. This is your guest host filling in for the wonderful John D. Gresham. This is Daria Ann, usually the host of Rightstream Tuesday, but I am more than happy to be joining you today as John is on location, and I'm actually going to bring him on the line here in a couple of minutes to tell us what he's up to. But first, I just wanted to have a sort of a moment of silence for a great lady. We awoke to the sad news today about the passing of Lady Margaret Thatcher. She was just an exceptional leader and an exceptional person. And our condolences to her family and to all of her loved ones. And Lady Thatcher, just want to thank you for all of your contributions. You will certainly go down in history as one of our greatest leaders. And I like to think that she's reunited right now with former President Ronald Reagan, with whom she shared a national stage, a world stage, and really made the world a better place. So just a brief moment of silence for Lady Thatcher. Okay. Well, folks, I have a great show lined up tonight. This afternoon, I have a wonderful show lined up, and I'm so grateful that my guest today, Deanna Warwood, who is the veterans coach, graciously agreed to be my guest here at the last minute. Because here at Rightstream, and especially on Military Monday, we are all about helping our military, especially our veterans who have served us so honorably and selflessly. So Deanna's business is all about helping veterans in business when they come back and getting back into the workforce and perhaps starting their own business as well. I mean, I'm going to talk to her about everything she does on behalf of our veterans. But before I go ahead and bring on Deanna, I just want to chat with John Gresham here for a couple of minutes because I know he's on a tight schedule. So let me go ahead and bring John on the line and let's see what he's up to. Hey, John.
Hey, Deanna. And I just want to reinforce what you said about Baroness Margaret. She was a class act. She was an Iron Lady, and I hope that, as you say, she's dancing with Ronald Reagan, but most importantly, I hope she goes and gets to dance with Dennis as well, because I know that's something they love to do.
Absolutely. John, you just gave me a chill. Absolutely. So God rest her soul, and thank you for sharing your thoughts on that.
And so, thanks for letting me call in, and thanks for filling in. Unfortunately, the realities of documentary television shooting sometimes interfere with the normal in our lives, what little of it there is, and this is certainly one of those occasions.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what, John, it's a perfect opportunity to let our listeners know kind of what you do when you're not hosting Rightstream. So can you share a little bit about what you've been up to? I'm not sure how much you can divulge on the air, but whatever you can tell us.
Well, bottom line is I took a few days this weekend and flew to New Mexico with a film crew from the Travel Channel and Indigo Films of San Rafael, and we were shooting one of the first segments for a new extreme travel series they have called Destination Confidential. The show will begin airing this summer, and basically it's oriented towards extreme travel in the sense that these are places that are either very difficult to get to, very occasionally open, or sometimes just not open to the public. And so in this particular case, we took advantage of a very unique opportunity to come down to New Mexico this weekend. In the heart of the White Sands Missile Test Range in New Mexico is the site of the very first atomic bomb test detonation in July of 1945. It's called the Trinity Site. It is where J. Robert Oppenheimer and his team detonated the very first atomic bomb on July 16, 1945. Now, for a variety of reasons ranging from, you know, just range safety, it's a live fire test range for missiles, as well as, quite frankly, the fragility of the site itself, the U.S. government only allows the public in 2 days a year, one day in the spring, which was this last Saturday, and then there'll be another one this fall. And we were lucky enough to gain exclusive access before the crowd came in to go to the site, to film the monument and many of the features of it, and it was just an amazing, amazing day. beautiful, sparkling spring day in the high desert of New Mexico.
Oh, that sounds perfect. I'm excited. I can't wait for the series to come out. So it'll air, did you say, late in the summer?
We're looking at the first episodes airing late in the summer. We currently are contracted through 6 shows. We'll do 3 or 4 segments per show, and I'm guessing that the Trinity Site one will be one of the first. And I have to say, it was an exceptional event. Nobody really publicizes this. I mean, you have to really go looking on the White Sands webpage to find the announcement for this. And in spite of that, over 3,100 people and over 1,000 vehicles came out. There was everything from a film and news crew from Germany, they're covering it, to kids and their parents just coming out to see this place. There were even a bunch of art students taking advantage of the rather unique qualities of the site to do art projects, everything from modified pigment photography to pinhole cameras of the event. It was a truly eclectic and wondrous event at a truly amazing place.
Wow, it sounds fantastic. And John, I know you're limited on time, but I just want to ask you quickly, can you tell us a little bit, I don't know if you're allowed to divulge this, but what is your role in helping this project?
Well, I'm perfectly happy to tell that, and that is I have been hired as a consultant on the program. I'll probably appear in a segment in each of the shows. In this particular case, I was an on-air host and narrator for this segment. I also supported the research and helping build the contacts to go ahead and get this shoot to work. So I had about 4 or 5 separate roles, and that's the way documentary television is. When you're hired to go and do on air, you'd have to know what you're talking about. And if you know what you're talking about, that means they can use you for research and God knows what other tasks.
Fantastic.
And I really want to pay a great tribute to the fine people I worked with this weekend. They took great care of me. The production values are first rate, what you'd expect on a network like Travel Channel. And I'm really proud to be part of this project.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that, John. I'm really looking forward to watching the series when it does air. So that'll be definitely something to look forward to. And very exciting. I'm really proud of you. That's awesome.
Well, thank you. And with that, I'm going to let you get on to the real guests. And okay, with a little luck, I'll be back here on Military Monday next Monday. So, Daria, take it away.
Sounds great, John. Listen, you have a safe, wonderful flight, and we'll see you here next week.
Thanks.
Take care. Okay, folks, that was John D. Gresham, our usual host of Military Monday. Very exciting to hear about what he's got going on. Well, I am excited to bring on my wonderful guest today, Deanna Warwood. And without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring her on the line, and I'll give her an opportunity to introduce herself to our audience, to all of you. And then we're going to get into talking about, how her business evolved and how she came to become such a helper to veterans. So without further ado, Deanna, welcome to Military Monday.
Thank you, Daria Ann. I really appreciate you having me.
Well, thank you for your patience, too. I wanted to get John on there to kind of let us know what he was up to. And thank you so much for – I know this was very short notice, so I really appreciate your flexibility.
My pleasure. It's always a great chance to have an opportunity to talk about my business and especially to be interviewed by yourself personally.
Oh, thank you. Well, Deanna, let's start by – I'm going to let you introduce yourself to the audience. Just tell us a little bit about your background first, and then we'll get into some questions about, you know, how you work with veterans and how all that goes.
Sure. My name is Deanna Warwood, and I'm known as the Veterans Coach because I help military veterans transition from military life to their dream life. Now, whether that involves a transition from the military into the job of their dreams and how to get it, or if they choose to start their own business, basically helping them facilitate that process for them.
That's excellent. Now, how did you get into this line of work? Are you yourself a veteran?
I am. I got into this line of work because, for one, I was born an Air Force dependent daughter. So I'm a military brat who spent their life living overseas. Then I went to college and then went on to join the military myself. But I served in the United States Navy as a hospital corpsman and an interpreter. Once I completed my time, which I had almost 11 years in, when I completed being a hospital corpsman, I came out of the service and, of course, hit a lot of challenges. One thing, there was a whole lot for me to learn. Considering that I had grown up military and then had gone on to active duty, I knew nothing about the simplest things. For example, getting civilian insurance, how to manage wealth. I was completely blown away by the fact that a doctor could or could not accept you into his practice. So,
wow.
I mean, just as an example, and I was pregnant at the time that I got out of the service. So with all of that going on and just the amount that I had to learn and to actually get the job of my dreams, I just have in turn brought that back to help other veterans who may or may not have had access to all of the resources that I did. When I got out of the service, and I banged my head a couple of times, but I did get a great job, and I probably got one of the best jobs a hospital corpsman with a multilingual background could ever get. And I was the manager at the Zachary and Elizabeth Fisher Houses at the National Naval Medical Center for 5 years, from 2003 to 2007. So if you're a listener and you met me there, say hi. Please connect with me. I'd love to know how your patient's doing.
Well, you know, Deanna, that's a great opportunity to let everybody know. Tell us a little bit about the Fisher Houses, since you brought up that topic, and then we'll go on from there.
Sure. The Fisher Houses are, how we used to explain it, is that the Fisher Houses are like Ronald McDonald Houses for military families. Essentially, except that we don't cater just to children. Essentially, if you're a military member and or dependent is in a military hospital and you're living a little ways away or a long ways away, that can happen quite often too. The Fisher Houses provide a place to stay so that you can be close to the hospital that your patient is being seen in. For the National Naval Medical Center at the time I was a member, we were the adult hematology oncology facility. We were also the neonatal intensive care facility for all of Europe and the Middle East, and also the breast cancer center for the entire East Coast. That was for active duty and dependents. So we had a large, and then, of course, when the war started, we were the traumatic brain injury center and the very seriously injured patients. So clearly those patients arriving by medevac, their families would be meeting up with them and maybe seeing them for the first time or flying with them on the plane, and they would need some place to stay. We had that all sorted out for them. It is a wonderful program and a truly deserving program, and I will absolutely say I never left work without ever feeling that I never made a change for someone.
Wow, that is fantastic. And I know that I've been involved with various organizations over the years that have done fundraisers on behalf of Fisher House. So I'm thrilled that we had an opportunity to let people know what that's all about. Now, Deanna, one other question I had about Fisher House. Now, when did that start? Is it fairly recent, or when did they come into existence?
To remember the exact date, Darianne, I'm really sorry. I can't remember, but I will tell you that it started on the heels of Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm.
Okay.
From my knowledge, you know, of the program, it came to the notice by a Mrs. Pauline Trost, and she was actually the wife of the chief of naval operations. And she brought it to Mr. Fisher and said, look, we've got people arriving by helo, medevac. They've got no place to stay. And, in fact, the Fisher House program started in the Washington, D.C. area because of the cost of living there. Getting a hotel extraordinarily expensive.
Yeah.
And, for example, for my own story, when my mother was diagnosed, because I came to the Fisher House first as a resident, my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she flew in from Bermuda. I flew in from Italy. And we stayed in a hotel for 30 days. It was $230 a night.
Oh, my goodness.
So that will give you an idea. So as Desert Shield, Desert Storm is occurring, people are sleeping, you know, in the hallways or, you know, in their cars so they can be close to their patient, but clearly not having the funds to be able to stay in D.C. Mrs. Trost brought this problem to Mr. Fisher, and he was kind enough to begin the building of the Fisher Houses. And I believe, if I remember correctly, he personally built the first 12 or 16 houses and then brought the Fisher House Foundation, created that so that the work could continue after he was gone.
Wow,
and they are
fantastic.
A phenomenal group of people and an incredible, incredible group of people. The foundation in and of itself has grown quite a bit under the leadership of Mr. David Coker, who is a phenomenal man. I've been blessed to meet him many times in person.
Wow, that's great. So, Deanna, so they're situated in various parts of the country, Fisher Houses?
Yes, Fisher Houses are situated where every single military facility, but they are, if it's a large military medical facility, like, say, what is now Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, or even for VAs, for example, Palo Alto, California, a Fisher House is built so that the families can reside close by to take care of their patients. So they are spread out across the United States. The houses belong to whichever program is running the hospital. So, for example, there are actually Navy Fisher Houses. There are Air Force Fisher Houses. There are VA, Department of Veterans Affairs Fisher Houses. And all of those programs run a little bit differently depending on the mission of that hospital.
Okay, excellent. And I know that a lot of them, they do rely on private donations, correct? You know, on the generosity
absolutely.
Of people.
Absolutely. Which is why I still, even though I'm no longer a Fisher House manager, as I said, part of my story is I knew about the Fisher House program as a hospital corpsman. I didn't become intimately involved in the Fisher House program until I actually flew in from Italy as my mother's medical attendant to find out, of course, that she's got this catastrophic diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And how are we going to manage? How are we going to, how are we going to live? And I'll be very frank, we were having the family meeting, where all the kids come together, we're having the family meeting,
right.
And I'm about 6 months pregnant, and I'm banging on the table because I'm the oldest, just kind of go with that.
Understood.
I'm banging on the table saying, I don't care if I've got to work 3 jobs in overtime, we're going to keep mom here, she's going to get the best care that we possibly can give her, and we're going to do this, and I don't care if I have to do it with you or without you. And there was a knock at the door, and the man who would become my boss many years later, said, I'm Albert Harrison, and I'm from the Fisher House, and I thought I might be able to help you.
Aw, what a great story.
It's the truth. Albert was a phenomenal manager in and of his own right, and I learned a lot from him. And, again, that was how I became involved. And so from 1998 up until 2000, or actually like from 2000 to 2003, I functioned as a volunteer manager for marketing. Because they're government employees, the Fisher House managers cannot go and solicit on their own behalf or for the behalf of their houses. So I would solicit on behalf for them, which is why I know that it is a wonderful charity. I've benefited from it personally and, again, seen many other families do the same.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, it sounds like it takes so much of the stress off of these family members. I mean, it's stressful enough having a loved one who's been injured or sick. That in itself is enough stress without having to worry about how you're going to pay for housing to be close to them. So I applaud Fisher House, and I encourage everybody listening to do whatever you can to support them because it's definitely a worthy cause.
So, absolutely. We do try to take as much stress off of the family as possible. Usually the family arrives and they're in what we call the bubble, which takes about 5 days, which is they're basically kind of figuring out what's going on with their patient. Patient, is getting stabilized. All they really kind of do is walking from the hospital to the bed.
Yeah.
And then all the questions come up like, oh, my gosh, where am I, what am I going to do? How do I eat? What do we do to take care of this person? How are we going to manage this kind of thing? I have no support system. I don't have any idea. And especially with parents of service members who don't have any knowledge of the military and it's programs, they're really kind of like at a loss. So it's the manager's job to, wait for them, to be there in support of them until they come out of that bubble and then direct them to the services that would be most suited for their needs.
Excellent. That sounds really good. So we're going to – and Deanna, do you know, before we move on, does Fisher House have a website if anybody listening wants to check it out or that you're aware of?
Absolutely. The Fisher House Foundation, which are the – they are the builders of the houses, and then they give those houses to as gifts to whatever branch of service owns the hospital. The Fisher House Foundation website is fisherhouse.org.
Okay, excellent. Fisherhouse.org. So everybody listening, please check that out. And if you're listening, not listening live, but you're going to check this out on the archives, please go to fisherhouse.org and do whatever you can to help, because this is such a worthy cause, and certainly our vets and their families deserve all the support that we can offer them. And this is definitely meaningful support, you know, taking care of those who are out there defending our freedom.
Absolutely. And then there's also a list at the Fisher House Foundation website of every Fisher House and where it's located. So if there's one in your neighborhood and you want to feel a bit more comfortable with seeing where your donation goes, please contact the house manager at that location closest to you and see what they need to help. You have to ask them because they are not permitted to solicit. So you have to say, do you have a wish list and how can I help you before they can say this is what we need.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for letting us know. That's great. And that way, you as the volunteer or the person who wants to make a donation can find out exactly what they need by asking them and know that your money is going for a specific need. That's great.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's really great. Okay, Deanna, I don't have a way of screening calls, but I do see that we have someone on the line. So are you up for a little adventure? And we'll see if a caller from the 240 area code has a question for you.
Sure.
Okay, it'll be just as much a surprise to me, so here we go. Okay, caller, you're on the line. Do you have a question for Deanna Warwood, the veterans coach? Hello? Okay, I guess, caller, maybe you just want to listen in. So if you change your mind, let me know. I can see that on the switchboard. Okay. Deanna, sometimes people just call and they want to just they're just calling because they're listening to the show, and I know people are shy. But, you know, this is a great opportunity for me to let everyone listening, and we have a few people in the chat room, to let them know if you do have a question for Deanna Warwood, the veterans coach, you can call into the show at 347-945-7246. Okay, and Deanna, I want to get into talking about you now and how you created your business, because it sounds to me like, you know, you experienced some challenges as a veteran, which you were able to overcome, and so you were kind of inspired to take those challenges and turn it into a way to help others who might face the same thing after they, you know, came back to civilian life.
Yes, actually, the inspiration for my business started when I was at the Fisher House, actually. Where it came up with as the service members were coming in and depending on the severity of their injuries, the knowledge that they may be going to hospital, you know, to a VA hospital on the other side of the United States or, you know, further south, and the mothers and fathers trying to run businesses and or earn income while their service member was sick and they were in support of that service member. So it started really with kind of like little ways, okay, what do you do? How can you do it? Who's your target market? Who would you like to sell to? This is how you can make some money. That's really how it started. Really, that's as, again, in support of those family members. That's kind of how it started. As the Team Phoenix, which is my transition assistant team, is kind of new with regard to the whole business, because change management was always part of the Team Scorpion training, which was, you know, how to basically transition from being an employee to the employer. It was always part of that training. However, we broke it away because there were more and more people saying, hey, I would just love to have the transition training. I don't want to own my own business, but I really want this job. How can I go about getting it? So that was how Team Phoenix basically came into being. It was as a result of people asking me, can we just do this training? Can we just have the change management training? So basically Team Phoenix was built to be respond to that call.
Fantastic. So it sounds like, I mean, I guess I want to go back to what was it like sort of building your business? I guess you saw these needs, like you just described one that kind of came up and it led to the implementation of something else. Did you seek out other people? Like, how did you kind of get organized and really take the ball and run with it?
Well, I actually had started another business. I was in a training business, and I was actually blessed with the opportunity to go to WEB, which is Women Entrepreneurs of Baltimore Training. So I'm a graduate of that program, as well as I have a degree in business. So I kind of, you know,
fantastic.
Kind of like where I was heading myself, pushing, you know, moving myself towards. Anyway, but I started with a training business teaching cultural competency to healthcare professionals. Because the diversity in the Washington, D.C. area is so huge, healthcare professionals do training so that they can ensure that they are meeting the needs of their international patients. So I started doing that, and it was very lucrative. However, it just felt like, okay, yeah, I can do this, but I can do so much more. And, you know, here's my community. I've done all of this, and I've built, you know, this business and doing great, but I'm looking back at my community, which is across the street from me, actually, because I had moved over to another job. And I'm looking at my community. I'm like, where's the rest of the veterans? Where's everybody else?
Yeah.
You know, so I said, well, I know that there are a number of vets out there. Well, let me just, you know, see what happens. And I started doing a little bit of internet marketing, not really effectively, I'll be very honest, but, you know, started, and I got such a response back that I said, oh, you know, this is something that I really enjoyed doing, especially it takes all of the knowledge and all the different phases of my life in the military community and bringing that to the forefront to help other people. So that was really, I closed the other business and sold it and started this one.
Wow. What a great story. Now, Deanna, and you certainly have since expanded because you and I met on Twitter, actually, through Joseph Ryan, a good, mm-hmm. great mutual friend. And people can find you on Twitter at Veterans Coach.
That's correct.
So I want to let everybody know that. And you also have a great website, and I put a link to it in the chat room, DeannaWarwood.com, and where all of your information is posted and people can go there and find out more about what you do. Now, Deanna, what did you find, and I'm sure this is probably like a loaded question, but what are some of the biggest challenges, I guess, the veterans face that you were able to address? I know we kind of touched on a lot of them, but what do you find are some of the biggest ones, biggest issues that you were able to help people with?
I think one of the biggest issues with regard to veterans in transition is there is a lot of what I call hidden rules, hidden stuff, that your average person who may have joined straight out of college or who may have joined straight out of high school has not yet had to ever deal with. Or if they, you know, or those that are retiring from the military, it's been 20 years since they've had to do it. One is the way our languaging, military veterans tend to speak very quickly, use short sentences, and in the imperative tone. Now, that comes from needing to pass information quickly to team members. However, I found even in my own, you know, working employment, during my own days of employment, that kind of communication style can be a little intimidating to other people. So we address that. There are other little hidden rules for interviews. A lot of times veterans don't ask questions because we're so used to taking in information and then acting on it. We never ask questions saying, okay, well, how does this product line, you know, or how does this change in the product line affect my job? Or what are the opportunities for advancement within this company? Or I see that you've had, you know, this challenge and this challenge with this product line, because you've done your research, of course.
Right.
Could I possibly, you know, what do you need for me to do that may be able to assist you? We never ask those questions because we're used to taking in information and saying, yes, I can do it. And that's it. But again, that comes just from part of being in the military. So there's little things like that. Dressing for success. You know, they tell us, you know, everyone says, okay, you know you're supposed to wear a suit.
Right.
People do. You're supposed to do those things. However, there's a lot of other things, little, you know, body language things or other cues that we try and teach people before they get out there, because you've got one chance to make a good impression. We've got to make sure that everybody does. So those are the things, those I'd say are the challenges for transitioning veterans. For veterans in small business, those that are choosing to go into small business, I'd say their biggest challenge is raising capital to do it. For the most part, even if those that did the 20 years or plus for example, retired from the military, for the most part, a large portion of our community does not purchase equitable assets that they can put, you know, that they can pull equity out of to fund a small business. Because, for example, you don't want to buy a house when you're stationed in Jacksonville, because 18 months later you could be stationed in Arizona and then you're stuck with the house and
right.
you can't get it rented. Or you are stuck with a house and you can and you can't get it rented and you have to pay rent wherever you're at.
That's a nightmare scenario right there. Yeah.
So, you know, that's so because of, you know, those, and we've all seen that happen to somebody. We've all seen it happen to at least one shipmate or buddy. So we tend not to purchase a lot of equitable assets. If you retired from the military, you've still got, you know, money coming in. You've got, you know, you can show proof of income when you go to the bank and say, I want to start a small business. You have proof of income. But the banks are still looking for collateral. And 9 times out of 10, we don't have them. So I show veterans for how to find other resources to start their own business. That's just one thing that we do.
Phenomenal.
So I say that was their biggest challenge.
Yeah. I mean, you bring up so many interesting points that the average person, average civilian would not even think of. Deanna, do you offer this? Is this all done sort of one-on-one with people, or are there classes that you offer? How does that work?
For Transition Assistance Program, we have a class that starts usually the mid-month of every other month. For the most part, we shoot around the 15th of the month. We take 5 people, and we give them an intensive training, give them lots of role play, lots of chance to practice, lots of play. You know, we bring in other experts that come in. We have, for example, a business etiquette professional that comes in, and we also have a number of image consultants that we bring in. So basically it's kind of like a fast makeover and skill set training, soft skill training, as well as what to look for, how to negotiate your salary, that sort of thing. And that happens every other month. People basically come down to where we are here in Florida. For the Team Scorpion, which is veteran-owned small business team, it really depends on what that veteran needs. And we have several pricing packages. But if that veteran wants me to come out and evaluate their current business, I will absolutely fly out there to do that. But then there's also my internet-based training group as well.
Oh, that's terrific. So they can even get training online if they can't travel.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. That's excellent. So what are there any companies out there, Deanna, that are, what do I want to say, like veteran-friendly, or are there any companies that have programs specifically geared towards, you know, maybe working with you to hire veterans? Anything out there that you, you know, any companies that you kind of work with to help make this happen?
No, basically I don't work with any one particular company because we really are trying to target what the veteran wants or the military spouse. We're trying to target what they want. Show them how to get what it is they're looking for. You know, not everyone wants to work at Bank of America, which has a wonderful program. Not everyone wants to work at, I've just gone blank, but it's MGM Resorts. They have a wonderful hiring program. Disney has a wonderful hire program. But not everybody wants those things. So really what we try to do is listen to what it is they really want, what they feel is where they want to be. If it's a government job, federal employment, then we get them ready for that. If they're looking to go private sector for an international company, say they want to work for IBM or, you know, PricewaterhouseCoopers, we get them ready for that. We try and target what it is they really want and get them prepared for that, which is why those classes are very small and why we work intensively with them.
That's great. Now, it really sounds like this is tailored to each individual and their goals and dreams, which is phenomenal. Now, I saw on your website that you do get out and you talk, you know, you give talks and speeches out in the community. Is that locally, or do you travel all around the country?
I do travel around the country for speaking engagements, and I also do speak locally. As a matter of fact, I'll be at the local SBA here, where I'm at, which is in Northwest Florida, in June.
Excellent.
But I do travel, and I have been asked to speak in a lot of different places.
That's fun. And what is, can people, I know this is a business, but I'm just curious, like, if somebody meets you, they hear you speak, let's say, and they want to help, like, what are some of the things that people can do who maybe aren't not necessarily veterans, but people who just want to show their support for the military? What are some of the things that they can do?
I have, you know, someone asked me that question in an interview. What can civilians do to assist veterans? I would suggest really keep a Rolodex. Be willing to allow. I mean, take a personal interest in the person, and be willing to allow some networking on your behalf. That would be, I think, the one personal thing that veterans really, really, really need. Because, again, if you've ever worked, for example, with an international company, which the Department of Defense really is just a huge international corporation. If you've ever worked for an international company and you were the manager that was always overseas, you know that you never really get the chance to build networks back in the state. And a lot of international managers will tell you that's one of the biggest drawbacks of being the guy that's on the ground wherever. They never get the opportunity to really connect with people here back in the States or at home office, so to speak. So I would just say, you know, take a personal interest in that veteran, listen to what they have to say, and see what you can do for them through your network or show them how to network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe introduce them to people that in your network that can help them make those connections.
Absolutely.
Get grounded. No, that's really good. So, Deanna, what are some of the ways that you – we talked a little bit about social media, but what are some of the ways that you reach out to vets to kind of let them know that you offer this service and that you're there?
Well, social media, I'll be honest and say that it is quite possibly my largest and most time-consuming part of my advertising. I did do advertising, but I've kind of gotten better at social media, I'll say. I'm not perfect, but I'm getting better at it. I'm definitely using that far more. And, again, it's far more cost-effective, I think, than just advertising.
Oh,
so,
yes,
really, I use
social
media, speaking engagements, again. Those are my two major avenues for marketing my business and services.
Absolutely. No, and it's such a great point about social media because it's so low cost. I mean, you can get a Twitter account for free and just, you know, start interacting with people there. And obviously, I mean, this show itself, I mean, I knew about the Military Monday hashtag on Twitter. And when I was starting the Rightstream Network, I said to John, who I also met on Twitter, you know, what do you think about starting a Military Monday blog talk radio show to kind of coincide with that? And thankfully, he was all for it. But I can't say enough about social media and the connections that you're able to make with people and the great causes like this one, you know, that you're able to support and find out about, because you really can't support something until you know it exists. So I'm glad to see that you're out there utilizing all of that.
Well, thank you very much. I had some challenges with this last year. I don't know if you got a chance, but I do have a video, you know, a little YouTube channel. I had some challenges really kind of getting a handle on the social media aspect, you know, because I was ill myself as well as trying to run the business. But I've gotten a lot better with it as of late, and I've had the opportunity to connect with some really phenomenal people. Big Joe Ryan is one of them, yourself, Mr. Gresham, and countless others that have been really incredibly supportive of the business, our services, and I've learned a ton from you. It's the truth. I've learned a ton from you just watching your example. So I just, you know, it's one thing about social media. When you're showing somebody, you can really show them your evolution and your growth, and you can connect with people that you may not ever meet in person, but you can follow their shining example and be able to help yourself move forward and then in turn help others move forward. So I think it's an incredible tool.
Oh, yeah, that is so true, Deanna. Very, very well stated. And I wish, you know, it's so funny. I wish I had known 5 years ago what I know now, you know, when I self-published my first novel, because, you know, it changes so much. But I was fortunate to meet, just like you're saying, I was fortunate to meet people along the way who provided that example for me. And I learned about things like Twitter chats, for example. And I really finally understood that the whole hashtag, you know, the significance of a hashtag and sort of building a community around it, you know, for example, Military Monday. And it's so incredibly powerful. But you mentioned YouTube. So let us know, what is your YouTube channel and how can we find you there?
I'm YouTube youtube.com/Deanna Warwood.
Okay.
And I actually have a video there. It's my very first video. It's not pretty. I'll be very honest. I'm telling you. It's not pretty. But it's the day that they pulled the PICC line out of my arm because I had been a cancer patient and I had not told anyone. So I was a cancer patient myself, and I was going through chemotherapy, so which is why I was on and off, on and off social
media.
I wasn't feeling up to it. I just wasn't. Like, trust me, it's better that I don't get on when I'm not feeling good.
Well, of course.
But, but again, so I was on and off quite a bit. But it's actually the day that they're pulling the PICC line and where my chemo ends, and I go from being a cancer patient to a cancer survivor.
Oh, God bless you. I can't wait to check it out. When we go off the air, I'm definitely headed to YouTube to watch it. And what other – are you on any other platforms? I know we talked about Twitter, Facebook, anywhere else that people can find you?
Yes, I'm on Facebook. You can connect to me at, facebook.com, Deanna Warwood, or my fan page is Deanna Warwood Business Coach. I'm also on LinkedIn. So for anyone that wants to see my resume, it's over there. And then I use a number of others like, Share Slide and Scribd and stuff like that. But I'm probably most active on Facebook. I'll tell you, I'm going to probably, hear it later, but my favorite network is Twitter. And Big Joe and I were talking about this, and I think the reason I love Twitter so much is because it's kind of military. You strip the message down to the absolute bare essence. You have 140 characters to say, this is what's going on.
That's true. I never thought
of
that.
I think it's because it feels more like military communication to me. I think I just naturally gravitated towards it.
Yeah. It's like you cut out the frills and you just get down to business,
Exactly.
Your bones.
Exactly. Truly, when I want to know what's going on in the world, I don't turn on the TV. I go to Twitter.
Same here. Well, that's how I found out about Margaret Thatcher's passing this morning. On my Android, on my Twitter app. It's amazing. I know you can find things out instantaneously. It's such a phenomenal tool. And I try. I still have so many friends that are resistant to Twitter, and I say to them, I was like that too in the beginning, but then I discovered Hootsuite. And, it makes it so much easier to use. And, I try to get people because it is very confusing in the beginning. I struggled with it for like a year before I figured it out. But it's so worthwhile. I mean, once you get through that. And the other thing, Deanna, and I want you to jump back in here, is that unlike Facebook, you're not limited on Twitter by the number of people you can actually reach out to and communicate with, which I think is
fantastic. Exactly. And listen to. There are so many great lessons that are flying past your eyes.
Yeah.
That's why I really gravitate more, I think, towards Twitter than, although I'm on Facebook and I love Facebook. Don't get me wrong. I do like Facebook. And I like LinkedIn, but I gravitate towards Twitter because in 140 characters or less, you get the meat, forget the bones, and there's a whole lot of life going on right in front of you, and it's instantaneous.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Yeah, it really is. And you can always, if you want to read something later, you can always favorite a tweet and go back to it later. There's just so many great features on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. But Deanna, I want to get into, because I know we talked about this on Twitter a little bit, getting back to Fisher House and maybe making a little appeal here for anybody who's on Twitter or anywhere else in social media that might be a good tech person. I know you and Big Joe recently had an event on behalf of Fisher House, and we're thinking of possibly doing another one, and thought maybe we could use the help of anyone out there listening who wants to volunteer their time in the tech area. Do you want to say a little bit about that?
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Pretty much what we were trying to do was to raise some money for the Fisher House that's closest to me, and that is the Fisher House of the Emerald Coast. The reason I picked doing that house was, one, because when I was a manager, the Fisher House of the Emerald Coast was still a drawing. And the other thing was because it is actually physically close to me, and I can go, have pictures taken, and there would be social evidence of the good that we had done. There, because it's somewhere I can get to fairly easily, and there's social evidence, and I can provide that back to the community and say, look at what we did, using the power of social media. Here's the challenge, though. I'm not a tech, and I'll be very honest and tell you.
Neither am I.
Best. We did our best, and I had technical challenges, and those were entirely my fault. One thing I did not know, that I did not have enough bandwidth to do the presentation the way I wanted to do it, so that people could actually interact and see what we were doing and, you know, be able to talk. I don't have the bandwidth. And the reason for that, I've been told, is because I live around 5 military bases that are using all of the airspace.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So it slowed down to a crawl, and then, of course, just basically crashed because we really didn't have any place. There was no place for us to go. Does that make sense?
No,
there was no
I totally
space for us
that.
To take because it,
right.
there was just no place for us to go. So it crashed. So I did send the presentation down, and people are taking a peek at it. But what I really need is someone who's got the technical know-how and the bandwidth to run it, to run that show so we can do it again. And the presentation is already out and about. People are looking at it and retweeting it, which thank you very much, guys and girls. I really, really appreciate that. And we'd like to give it another shot, but clearly it needs to be somebody that's not here or someplace where they've got more bandwidth. You know, I've still got a webcam. Big Joe's got a webcam. We're still willing to do it. We still want to do it. I just need somebody who can do it because I certainly can't.
Well, okay, listeners, let's put our heads together out there in social media and in the Twitterverse, and I know we can find somebody who's tech savvy who can help us out with this, who's also a big supporter of the military. I know they're out there somewhere. We just have to make them aware of it. Deanna, let's talk a little bit about the concept, though, too, for the event, because I thought it was such a great concept that you and Joe had put together. And how the event actually works.
Well, basically, what we'd hoped to do is that I would be able to use my screen to show a slide show and do a presentation featuring the products that are being handled by Team GoToIt. And I don't think I've mentioned them. Sorry, girls. Team GoToIt was essentially we need to make some money now program. While I was sick, as I told you, I was a patient last year. While I was sick, I had a couple of ladies come to me and say, look, you know, we're military spouses or military caregivers or veterans, and, you know, the economy's beat us up a little bit. How can we make some money right now? And I would go, well, what skills do you have? And they would say, well, I've been a housewife or what have you. And so during my, you know, my illness and convalescence, I did some research on a number of home-based business opportunities, and the one that came straight to mind was GG Hill. And in fact, it had all of the qualifications, I would say, for something that would do very, very well and is doing very well. And so I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start this little group. Everybody does this. I'm going to teach you how to sell, how to do this, how to do that, and that'll all be part of your coaching program. And then that was pretty much how Team GoToIt got started, to kind of spotlight and show them this is how you can do a virtual presentation, because their needs, whether they're taking care of small children with special needs or if they're taking care of a wounded warrior or even if they just need a way to make some cash, we wanted to show them how to do this on the Internet, still selling but not having to necessarily leave their home. And so that was how that kind of came about. So I said, okay, well, we'll sell this, and all profits will go towards the Fisher House, which is closest to me, which is the Fisher House of the Emerald Coast. And the girls will get the chance to see how to do the presentation online.
Oh, wow. It's like a super
kind of deal. And then Big Joe was kind enough to say, okay, well, all the products I'd get for hosting the party, go ahead and just send those to the house, too. And I was like, whoa, okay. How the idea came up.
Now, Deanna, what kind of products are these? I know they were geared for women. It was my understanding, like handbags and things like that.
Our handbags and luggage. Now, we have a very durable men's line, which is, you know, single color. It's gorgeous, actually, I think. It's a dark brown with the briefcase and a travel bag and a dop kit for those people that remember dop kits. It's a great dop kit. So that's our men's line. We have a large, extensive line for the ladies, but there's also something that's really cute, and that's a line for the teens. And what's really cute about those is they're reversible. The most of them are reversible, so the young ladies get two looks out of one bag, which is important when you're in high school. I don't know if you
that's right that. It sure is.
But they get two looks in one, and they can, you know, because I don't know if anybody else has noticed this, but has the number of books increased from when I went to high school to what they're carrying home now?
Yeah, I mean, I can see
it
from
sure
my
seems
to
that
my
way. So
yep.
This is a way for them to carry home their book, you know, and still be really fashionable and cute, and they get two looks instead of one. And then these things easily go into the washer. So when they're dirty, cruddy, whatever, dusty, drop them in the wash, pull them out, and they're ready to go again. So those are really kind of like the three product lines we have.
Oh, that's great. So then by participating in this online fundraiser, then you would actually see online what a particular product looks like? And
yes,
then you could purchase it.
You would see the presentation, which is a slideshow, which shows a number of the products clearly and the different, you know, types of things, and you see young, you know, people in action and actually using their stuff. Then we would like to have a link to be delivered to the people that have participated in the show, which would take them right to the store. And they could click on whatever it is that they liked, wanted to see more of, you know, wanted to find more information about, make their choices, and then everything would ship directly to them versus us doing a party and then trying to get it all, you know, sent out to different people.
That would be crazy. And then through that dedicated link, you would know that their purchase was specifically from your event and the money
absolutely
would then go there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And in fact, GG Hill, the company, was incredibly supportive of this idea and was standing by basically waiting to see to make sure that Joe and the Fisher Houses got credit for all of the purchases that went through.
Terrific. So we really need to redo this. We need a do-over.
we need a do-over.
Because I really love the idea of this event. I mean, how fun, and you don't have to go anywhere. I mean, you can participate. This is another thing, the beauty of new technology and the internet. You can be anywhere and support a worthy cause
from the comfort of your own house. I absolutely agree. And the reason it's kind of important is because the military family is stretched across the world. You know, if you just left Landstuhl, Germany, and you're back in Washington, D.C., most of your friends are still in Landstuhl, Germany. Yes, you're going to make new friends where you are, but if you're running a business, it's kind of important to keep the things, you know, keep the revenue moving. So by being able to teach these ladies how to do this, they can access all of their friends that they've left behind or those that they haven't met yet. They'll be able to do all of that without ever having to leave their home.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so we need to find a way to get this event sort of rebooted and online soon. So anyone listening, if you are a supporter of the military and you're also a techie, we need your help. So you can contact Deanna at Veterans Coach on Twitter. Deanna, what are other ways that people can get in touch with you if they like what they're hearing and they want to know more and hopefully help you out?
They can send me an email. I am at capitalbusinesscoach@gmail.com. That's G as in government, mail.com. Just Capital Business Coach.
Okay. Terrific. I felt really bad when I heard about the tech problems. And again, it's such a great event, such a worthy cause that we need to find a way to make this happen again soon. We just need the right person to help us.
I 100% agree, and I'll say this: it was kind of hurtful that it didn't work out as well as I'd hoped, but there was a lot of good that came from it. One thing, I was able to come to speak with you and your guests today, and then one of my girls from Team Go To It actually stepped up to the plate and started doing videos for her business because she saw that, okay, look, I've got to take this one on the chin. That doesn't mean we quit. Let's keep moving forward. So she saw that example in me. And then went ahead and followed suit in her own business. So I was terribly, terribly proud of her.
Oh, that's terrific. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
You know what? It's right. We cannot allow setbacks to define us and to keep us down. It's, you know, I always believed, you know, you kind of have to, yes, it's disappointing, but you have to learn from what went wrong and change it and dust yourself off and go for it again.
Absolutely. And as an entrepreneur yourself, you know how important that is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, some days it is tough, which is why it's, you know, it's great, you know, for myself to have, you know, speaking for myself, I have a spiritual life, you know, pray, meditate, exercise, anything to keep the attitude up. And because it's so important. But certainly with something like this, just the knowledge that you're doing so much good for people who've been out there, you know, fighting for our freedom and protecting us from harm, you know, I feel very inspired to help you guys any way I can. And, like I said, right now, I think the biggest way I can help is to assist in finding us a tech support person. So I'm determined we're going to do that.
Well, that's awesome, and thank you very much. I really do appreciate you taking some interest in the event and in my business. And again, I will still be looking for watching your lead on Twitter.
Absolutely. Deanna, is there anything else you want to, that maybe we didn't discuss as we wind down here, that you want to mention on the air before we sign off today?
If I could, just one thing. I'd like to just address the other business owners out there that may have some reservations hiring veterans. Please know that veterans are probably some of the hardest working people you'll ever meet. They will absolutely put your agenda first. They are loyal beyond credibility, and they really do want to work. So if you're in a position to give a vet a job, please consider that. I know everyone's heard so much about PTSD, and I think it's been taken to the point of stigma, but here's the truth, and you can ask any psychologist. You can expose 10 people to trauma, only 2 of them will develop PTSD. Only 2. Nothing like the 95% of people that, and all the other stuff that's flying through the media. Only 2. The thing is we don't know which 2. But those 2 could be first responders. They could have been policemen. They could be doctors. You never know which 2. And it doesn't necessarily, this is not a military-only issue. This is an occupational issue for a lot of different occupations. So please don't let that make you afraid. Veterans deserve a chance. Give them a shot. Just give them a shot, because I will tell you, as a person who is one, veterans are some of the hardest working, loyal people that you will ever be able to hire. So if you're in an opportunity to give them a shot, please give them one. And that's all I'd have to say. Thank you very much for that opportunity.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure, Deanna. Very eloquently stated, and I'm so glad that you clarified that. I would hate to think that any veteran is being discriminated against for that reason, for PTSD. So thank you for clearing that up for everybody. And business owners, please heed her advice, and let's do everything we can to help our vets, because they surely deserve it. I mean, they've been out there protecting us selflessly and putting themselves in harm's way. And, you know, and these are the ways that we can thank them, and, you know, meaningfully for doing that for us. So, again, do what you can to help, and we're looking for a tech person. So anybody listening, contact Deanna at Veterans Coach or at her email, or you can also tweet at me at Daria Ann, that's DariaAnne, or you can tweet at Big Joe. What the heck? Let's put a plug for Big Joe, Deanna.
Absolutely. That's Joseph M. Ryan 1.
All right. So, Deanna, again, I want to thank you. And, you know, God bless you. I am so glad that you recovered. Congratulations, and I'm just wishing you the best of health, and you know, keep on keeping on, because you're doing a phenomenal job.
Thank you very much, Diane, and so are you. And I
look
forward to seeing you on Twitter.
Okay, sounds good. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, that concludes Military Monday for Monday, April 8th. 2013. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I enjoyed having Deanna Warwood on. What an exceptional lady. Please visit her site, Deanna Warwood, that's WHARWOOD.com. Find out how you can get involved in helping our veterans. Certainly share it with all the veterans you know who may be looking to start their own business or seeking some help in kind of making that reentry back into civilian life and perhaps working for a private business or company. John Gresham, hopefully we'll be back here again next week at 1 p.m. Eastern with another fabulous guest. And I, of course, will be here again tomorrow for WriteStream Tuesday with 2 wonderful authors. I have Declan Finn, who wrote a Pious Man novel, which I reviewed at my blog. You can check it out at dariadigiovanni.com. A Pious Man novel just came out, I believe, the end of March, and it's a fabulous read. It's set in the Vatican. It's a thriller. It's got history, murder, conspiracy theories, everything you're looking for in a book of that sort, and very well written as well. So I'm looking forward to talking to Finn about that, about his work. And also I'm going to be talking to my friend David R. Young, who is the author of The Political Spectrum, Freedom versus Enslavement. And his book was just phenomenal, and it really clarified a lot of the misconceptions that are out there about the actual political spectrum and how it works. And so we're going to talk to David about his book, about history, about the political spectrum, and I'll let you know right up front, it has nothing to do with political parties, but I think you'll find it very interesting. So tune in for RightStream Tuesday tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern. Okay, everyone, until then, this is your host, Daria Ann, signing off. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Monday, and I will see you back here tomorrow for RightStream Tuesday on the RightStream Radio Network at 1 p.m. Eastern.